that is measured. And it can be measured by seconds, it can be measured by hours, it can be measured by days, it can be measured by seasons. Every time, when you say next year, that's chronos. When you say 2 p.m., that's chronos. When you say tomorrow, that's chronos. When you say in 2 months, that's chronos. So chronos, it is every time that man can measure. Man can plan and man can experience. That is chronos. While in the divine order of God, God does not use chronos, because in heaven there is no day, there is no night. So there are no years in heaven, because there is no morning, there is no sun. In heaven, there is just only kairos. Kairos is the set time or appointed time. When God says, I'm going to do this at this hour, that is the kairos, or I'm going to do this in this year. Now, God spoke to us, and we read scriptures, different scriptures on the word kairos. And on the scriptures we read, we discovered that there, in fact, so many verses, even Jesus Christ, when he was crying for Jerusalem, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you knew the kairos, the time of your visitation, the word time there is the word kairos. It's not the word chronos, it's kairos, meaning to say, that was the only time that Jesus had to come physically and live with them. And when you miss the appointed time of God, it may not come again. So in this year, God has set up this year as a kairos moment for your victory. When we say victory, this is divest. It could be your deliverance, it could be your healing, it could be your whatsoever battle you are fighting with, God has set up this year so that you can get your freedom. And that's why it's a freedom year, the year of victory. So how do we ought to behave? Because even scripture tells us how we ought to behave in church. Apostle Paul wrote Timothy, he said, my son, he said, understand these things so that you may learn how to behave yourself in the temple when I'm not there. So everywhere there is a behavioral attitude that God wants us to adopt, to learn. When God speaks a word, how do you behave? When God gives a prophetic message, how do you behave? When God says it's the time, it's your time, how do you behave? When God says this is what I want you to do, how do you behave? So the biggest word is alignment. So alignment, it is when you begin to do certain things in a way that what God has said must merge. I have seen people who position themselves badly. This does not only apply even to the spiritual world, even in the business world. When you learn business psychology, there is a word which we call the lipstick effect in economy. The lipstick effect in economy or economics states that the study of consumer behavior, the behavior of people, changes when there is an economic crisis or people are struggling financially. So instead of them buying expensive things because of the financial difficulties, they look for another product which is semi-luxury for them to buy to still feel good. So a research was made by Ronald Lauder, the owner of Estee Lauder, which is the lipstick. Whenever there is an economic crisis, Estee Lauder sold like nobody's business. And when the economic crisis was no longer there, the sales dropped. Because people were still looking for something that is semi-luxury to replace. So things like lipstick and perfumes were selling like nobody's business. So somebody has no money, but still more they want to smell good.
In other words, if you understand the consumer behavior during that moment, you will not buy expensive things and start selling. What will you do? You will change your strategy. Instead of selling expensive things, you begin to open up a cosmetic shop. So people who make money during an economic crisis are those who have cosmetic shops. Because you understand the consumer's behavior. Because the first thing you must understand what's happening with an economic in your area. So that if you are opening a shop or whatsoever product you want to bring must align with an economic environment. And that is what we call alignment. And such wisdom is supposed to have, it is supposed to be practiced by God's people. I'm trying to talk to someone, right? But you find God's people have nothing like that. All they do is just speak in tongues and some opening a shop. No, my friend. That's where wisdom is there. That's why Joseph came out and he said, you know what? For the next 7 years, we are going to put these things in a storehouse. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking to you. Yes. So you have to understand the consumer's behavior. Amen. Similarly, in the spirit realm, there is what we call alignment. So when God speaks a statement, when God speaks a word, your acts, your action, your behavior must align with the environment or with what God has spoken. Are you here or you just disappeared a little bit? We know the marketplace very well, but we also understand the spiritual place. And we know what hinders people in the marketplace, and we know what hinders people in the spiritual place. So I'm not teaching you just like somebody on the pulpit. I'm teaching you as a man who is on the marketplace, and I'm teaching you as a man who is a spiritual man. God speaking, because most believers think God is just about entering heaven. Listen, the whole purpose of you being here on earth, it was not you to go and enter heaven. If it was about you just entering heaven, God could just go in a room and say, can people appear in this room? Then would have just appeared in heaven and be worshiping. But God brought you on earth. And when you were sick, you didn't die. If God had loved you so much by now, he would have picked you. But the reason why you and I were still here, it is because of the actual purpose. When God was creating the world, he said, simple, let us create man in our image and let him have dominion on earth. Am I talking to someone right?
Yes.
So there is what you call dominance. Somebody said dominance.
Dominance.
There is dominance. God wants us to dominate. Then he said, let him rule over the things on the earth. The things in the water and the things in the air.
Yes.
And these things were not mentioned. It's an open check. So the things in the air could be aeroplanes. The things in the water could be boats, yachts, ships, oil. I'm not trying to talk to you. The things on the land could be farms, could be anything on the land. The thing is, God told us to have dominion and to rule over these things. Have dominion. Refuse to be ruled. So what the devil does is he wants to rule you on the land. He wants to rule you on the air. He wants to rule you on the water. But the purpose where we are all created, that is what we are created for. Scripture does not say God created us so that we can be singing songs to him. No, we worship him because it's our nature. Being God's people, we just worship him. There is nowhere angels are taught to worship God. The Bible says when they see what happens on the throne, it says they bow, they say holy. When they see the splendor, they say holy. When they see how powerful the throne, they say holy. And they keep on saying holy. That is why we are created. We are created to reign with Christ. Amen. And the scripture says that. So we shall rule with him. Are you understanding?
Yes.
Now I'm sharing these things to you because I want you to understand the teaching I'm teaching you from yesterday. where the enemy can put you under siege. So what happens? So the enemy, he knows who you are. He understands. He knows. And the first thing the enemy will do is to put you under siege. I shared this in the morning yesterday. I said there was a moment, there was a month where I woke up in the morning, every direction I was under siege. When the enemy puts you under siege, it means that you are surrounded. But soldiers don't just surround you. When the soldiers put a country under siege, they don't just surround you. What they do is they go to strategic places and take over those places. And to them, it may mean transport. It may mean ports and airports. So they will go to the sea at a port and take over. They will go to your main roads, take over those roads. And they will go to the airport, take over. And then they say to you, surrender. You want to bring medicine for your people in your country through way. And when you are fighting those soldiers who have taken over all strategic roads and they wound you, how will you treat your soldiers? So strategically, you are defeated. Even before going to the battle, once they take over your main routes, your main openings, you're already defeated. And they call it strategic defeat. Am I talking to you? So the devil understands this mastery. He has mastered it and understood it. This is when the enemy is fighting you, he does not just fight you. He goes and sees what gives him money. Which connections is he having? No wonder all your connections right now are no longer good. All your financial routes are all blocked. That's what the devil will do. He will put you under siege. So you'll wake up in the morning. This route you are actually depending on to say the miracle will happen here is blocked. You're like, now, this time around, there is this door. Something is going to happen. Before you know it, even that door is also closed. This other route also what? Closed. The enemy wants to touch you. He knows you have got fire. He understands you're so powerful. So to avoid touching you, he will just block, boom. He will block there. Then he will watch at you. And you'll be praying here. Because you do not realize that you're under siege. Until you make up a step to say, wait a minute, I'm not fighting with the enemy. In fact, I think he's not even fighting me. What he's doing, he's blocking my what? My channels. All my channels are under attack. At this stage, you are not praying against the enemy. At this stage, you are redeeming those channels. You are reclaiming the lost territories. Every route that was crossed by the enemy, I command to open in the name of Jesus. Every channel the enemy has closed. Hear me very well. Every channel the enemy is trying to close for you, it will not close. There are people the devil has anointed with the demons to sabotage who you are, to sabotage your opportunities. It will not happen. Somebody shout in the mighty name of Jesus. I clear my ways. As I'm speaking, there are people who are in marriage. Right in that marriage, the devil has just touched the source of income. And guess who's fighting? The husband and the wife. The wife thinks the man is stingy. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
No, you are just broke as a family. Uh-huh. Wait until money begins to come. I'm telling you, you see in the family where there's no money, when a wife takes a pillow and he hits the husband, or when a husband takes a pillow and he hits the wife with a pillow, it's called abuse. But in a wealthy family, when a husband takes a pill and hits the woman, it's called romance. Poverty is not good. Are you understanding somebody? The devil knows. He will just go. He knows this couple. They are very powerful together. He will just block with their finances. He knows. He won't come to touch you. You will touch each other. On your own. He will block with a channel of money. Boom. On your own, begin to hit each other. Ba, 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 ba. And let you pray. Ba, 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 ba. There's another door about to open there. He will go and close it. Instead of you using discernment to know we are under siege as a couple, let us pray my wife. Let us pray my husband. Something is happening. You are fighting. You already have no money, and you're again fighting on top of that. At least when you've got money, you should be fighting, and one should be crying in Dubai. But no, there is no money. And you're also fighting. You know I'm a prophet, right?
Yes.
Don't think I'm teaching. I'm prophesying.
Yes.
You are not, listen to me, that battle is not a battle. You are under siege.
Yes.
The enemy knows how much you love one another. And what he is doing, he's not making you to fight one another. He has just blocked all your channels of financial resources. As I'm speaking, you're fighting because you're not feeling the love. And the husband too, he's not feeling supported. Can you imagine the husband will go and work so much and he comes back home and the wife is behaving like the man is doing nothing. So the man, as I'm talking now, he's feeling unsupported and the woman is feeling unloved. So what's happening? People are fighting. But the battle, the actual battle, it is not what's happening in their house. They are under siege. The devil has crossed every door of opportunity. But I'm saying tonight, we command this attack to come out. Somebody say,
I'm here, prophet.
You must be very careful. In the prophetic ministry, we are very careful. We watch. We watch. Some of these battles you're having, I'm telling you, even in marriage, a woman, she wants to get married. I promise you, when you're under siege, the enemy will say, I will close every opportunity. A man will come with love, and he's so interested in you, and he loves you. Before you know it, he's no longer interested. Just know, my sister, you are under siege. Something is happening. It can't happen. All five men, all of them, they see you as a bad woman. Are you okay? All the men that are you telling me that the whole year nobody was interested in you? Huh? About 4 billion men in the world. The whole year. Your face is under siege. I promise you. No. It's not funny. But I'm telling you. You will see when we break the attack. You have seen, how many people you have seen them testifying in church? I have prayed for people who, there's a woman, she was 43. No any man has ever said, I love you. At 43, she was a virgin. No any man said, I'm interested. And a very beautiful woman. At 43. I said, I command this spirit to come out. The woman, as if there was something in her, she just screamed and fell under the power. When she rose up, I said, you are free. She left. When she left, the following month, she came here to International Visitors Program. This time around, not to ask for prayer, but for direction.
Amen.
She said, 5 men want to marry her. She just said, who must I... I said, eh? So the 5 men, they want to marry me. He said, my father, I'm now confused. I have never done relationships. I have no experience. Which one among these five must I say yes? One is a lawyer. Another guy is from Ethiopia, but he stays in America. Another guy, he stays in Australia. He said, I have known these people for years. All of a sudden, after you delivered me, they all began to say, I'm interested in you for marriage. She said, so tell me, my father, who must I? And then there's another person that stays in the area where I stay. He wants to marry me. I had to write a name. I said, do you know this name? She said, no. I said, then he has not yet come. So leave these five. The woman left. 3 months later, the man that I had wrote on the paper appeared. And they came together, the two of them. The man came here. Oh, Major One. I said, yeah, here. Yeah. Perfect for my daughter. All these years, for 43 years, she was under siege. There was a spirit that said, you will never get married. Something stood on the channel. Something stood on the way to say, you will never get married. So when I'm speaking to you tonight, I know what I'm talking about. When I'm saying we are breaking the siege, I mean it. Somebody shout with me, I break the siege.
I break the siege.
The Lord spoke to me. He said, there is a war raging in the spirit realm over your finances. The enemy has set up spiritual checkpoints, barriers of debt, fear, and generational poverty to block your blessings from reaching you. But I'm speaking to you tonight, I dismantle such checkpoints in the name of Jesus. And I pray a release of angelic escorts to bring your financial freedom. In Luke 4:18,
the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
All right, I want us to see something that is very important here. In the New Living Translation, the Bible says what?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free.
Now, we are bound to do something here. We want to break the curse. Every curse, every setup of the enemy, not just financially. Some of you are sick. Some of you is to do with marriages. Some of you is to do with the fruit of the womb. And some of you is to do with finances. We want to make a ruling. And this ruling will be established forever.
Amen.
For the next 10 years,
amen,
this prayer I'll make for you, it will be working for you.
Amen.
This prayer, it will only expire after 10 years from today.
Amen.
So expect great things happening for the next 10 years. I'm telling you this. It will be activated now. For the next 10 years, this prayer will be working for you every day. Now, this is what I want to do. In Galatians, I want to break the case. Somebody say, break the case.
Break the case.
In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Can you read it?
But Christ has rescued us from the case pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scripture, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.
I want you to hear a very important statement over there. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse.
The word case is it comes from a Hebrew root, kalala. Hebrews, they call it halala, which means case. And the word case simply means to bring to nothing. So if you are cased, it means you have been brought to nothing. By its definition, you can know whether you are cased or not. If your things are being brought to nothing, there is a case. If your plans, there is a force working towards making it to come to nothing, there is a case. If your relationship, there is something happening that is trying to make your relationship come to nothing, there is a case. So I don't have to even tell you whether there is a case or not. I just have to define the word case, harala, which means to bring to nothing. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So scripture says Christ has redeemed us so that
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.
Now, I want you to say something here. So if the Bible says Christ has redeemed us, it does not mean we are redeemed. Let me teach you. It's like the law. If the law protects this man, it does not mean that he's protected by the law. Until he goes in the court and a judge makes a pronouncement to say that he is protected by this law, then he becomes protected. Are you understanding? So until we speak it, until we declare, it's not there. That's where the Bible says, if you shall say with your mouth, it becomes a ruling, a judgment. So the fact the Bible says that we are saved, it doesn't mean just because Jesus died on the cross then everyone in the street is saved. No, Jesus died for us, we are all saved. No, it does not work like that. You must say, you must accept Jesus with your mouth. You must announce it. You must believe. So in fact, it is said, but it is not executed. So we speak it, and when we speak it, it becomes a ruling.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Am I talking to you?
Yes.
So we want to remove the case. We want to remove the siege. We want to break it by announcing.
Uh-huh.
And when we speak, it shall be so.
Amen.
But then the person who is receiving the freedom should understand they are free. Because if the judge will make a ruling to say, I now pardon you. You are out of the prison. And you take your things and you go back in the prison. You must understand the language. So imagine that you are in cell. And then they come there. They say, so-so. They mention your name. So-so. And then they say, he is released. Can you come by the gate? You are released. And they are still there. You will remain there. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
It takes one to understand that they are free.
Amen.
This thing I'm talking to you, this siege, it must be broken.
Yes.
You cannot be surrounded like this.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
I repeat, you cannot be surrounded the way you are surrounded.
Oh, yes.
Something must happen. And for you, listen to me, for you to realize what I'm saying, I want to give you another definition of another word. So we are dealing with breaking the curse. Why? Because God promised us that we are inheritors. We are heirs. An heir is a person who inherits a possession. And the scripture tells us that God made us to inherit. Do you know someone who inherits? To inherit what? It means if this man here has got a project, he's doing it. Are you understanding?
Oh, yeah, big project.
A $100 million project.
Big man.
And me, I'm a believer. Okay?
Yes.
I'm a believer.
Yes, sir.
And he's not.
and has got $1 million, $1 billion project, and me being a believer, I'm also applying for the same project. If me being an heir, what does it mean? I will inherit this project. But have you noticed that instead of the church, people who pray and who believe, to take over, the people of the world are taking over. Papa, I lost my contract. I hear this every day. I say, what? I lost my contract. This other person came. I lost this. Do you know? It's a sign of a case. It's a sign of Kerala. It's a sign that there's something that is happening on your way. You are under siege. Because scripture, let me give you in the book of Romans. Scripture, and I want you to read it, to read it for me. In Romans 8:17, it says what?
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
If indeed, that's it. If indeed we suffer with Jesus, then we are heirs, so that we may be glorified together. Are you understanding? And that word heir there, it's when you read in Hebrew, it comes from a Hebrew root word, is Yerusha. That's the word. It means Yerusha. And the word Yerusha, it actually means allotment. Meaning to say that if it's a distribution, which is a package to say this land, a very good example, this land belongs to Major One. So it's already there. So believers, when you receive Christ, there is a prophetic allotment of a particular amount of money you're supposed to own. There is a particular glory. And the scripture says we are heirs. There is something you must inherit, because every wise parent creates inheritance for his children. So scripture says God is not unwise. He says when Jesus was living, he left inheritance. I'm trying to talk to somebody. He left what? Inheritance. And the scripture says if indeed we claim we suffer with him, we will take over that inheritance. 2026 is your Kairos year. This is your appointed season. Am I talking to you? So for you to know there is a case working around me, everything goes to nothing. With the word Kerala, case, it means bringing to nothing. You try this, it's trying to be brought to nothing. Your prayers as if they're going into nothing. Everything is like going into nothing. That's a case. And I'm telling you, don't smell at it. Tonight we are making a ruling. We are activating this ruling. We are speaking a prophetic verdict.
Amen.
We want to do something right now. And everybody stand up on your feet, because we are making a ruling. And anyone that is sick in your house, watch the hand of God healing them. Whether it's you or somebody you know, we speak a verdict. We declare a ruling. Now, as you raise up your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the power and mandate given unto me as your prophet, I decree on this altar, I stand in the office of a prophet. I make a ruling in the name of Jesus. Every financial attack, every spiritual attack, every demonic attack, every sickness attack, every failure, whatsoever siege the enemy has surrounded you, whether it's marriage siege, tonight I make a ruling. The cord of the enemy is broken. I risk a prahata. I make a ruling for you. I make a ruling in your favor. You are released. everyone under the oppression of debts, financial debts, financial difficulty, you are hereby released. In the name of Jesus, go and receive the freedom. Your doors are opened. Every door which was locked is opened. In the name of Jesus, every opportunity is opened. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every sickness is healed. In the name of Jesus, I declare, this is your ruling. The siege is broken. I said the oppression is broken. The hindrance is broken. Go and walk in your freedom. In Jesus' holy name.